have your Bibles, would turn with me to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm going to skip down and read from the 16th verse tonight. We're going to continue the sermon we started this morning and believe God to bless and minister to us. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said this, "I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would move and minister to us, Lord. God, move in our lives tonight. Use me as an oracle of your grace, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to continue the message I started this morning on embracing the Holy Spirit. I want to show the importance of embracing the Spirit of God, not just as an emotional experience, but as a helper, a counselor, an intercessor, and a friend. Jesus was asked the question, "How long are you going to be with us?" He said, "I'm going to leave, but if I go, I'm going to pray the Father. He'll send you somebody to take my place." And he said, "I got to go away before he can come, but I'm going to pray the Father sends you a comforter who's going to abide with you." Amen. And I'll be honest with you, church, we need to understand that's something we need in the day in which we're living, somebody to lead, guide, direct us, and help us in the day in which we're living. And I want to tell you something, church. If you get saved, the Spirit of God abides with you. I will not argue with those preachers that tell you that they got saved, the Spirit of God abides with them. It does. But if you read your Bible, there's an experience even beyond that. Amen. Now, first thing I want you to realize is the wording of Scripture. Either God don't know how to speak English, or he words it in a way you understand there's more to it than what some people expect. Listen to what he said. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you." Two things. You got saved, he dwells with you. There's an experience beyond salvation where you get baptized, immersed in the Spirit. Amen. Now, if you were in some churches, you could get sprinkled in the Spirit, but I'm not in those churches. I believe in immersion. That's what baptism is. Baptism, not somebody taking the water and sprinkling it on you. Baptism, when they put you under the water like John the Baptist did it, like Jesus had done to him. He went under the water because the whole idea of baptism is to do what? To be buried and to be resurrected. Amen. When I took my bishop's papers, I took my test to become an ordained minister at the time, I was asked the question, "What is baptism?" I knew that I was being quizzed by one of the strangest teachers and quizzers that they had, Brother A.N. Lee. He had the reputation that nobody in his time as a man giving those tests ever made 100. Guess what? They still ain't. He kept marking one off, and I'd quote with him and argue with him about it, and he'd put that point back on, and he'd take another point off, and finally he got to the one about baptism. He took a point off. This is what I said. Water baptism, it is the act of obedience to Christ. It is to be done in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, according to Matthew 28:19. It is by immersion, because it represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection in the newness of life. And he put minus one. I said, "Why?" He said, "That's vague." I said, "What's vague about it?" He said, "Son, let's just get this straight. We've tried it already. I have never given 100 to anybody else. You're not going to be the first one. Now, we're going to lose this point somewhere. If we stay here all day, you're going to make a 99. That's all you're going to make." So I made 99 and was kind of proud to do it. Glory. But the reality is, the Holy Spirit comes and we are baptized by immersion. You say, "Now, preacher, can you prove that?" I read in the Scripture where the disciples were told by Jesus, "Rejoice not because you have power over demons and devils, but rejoice." Why? Because your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now these same disciples are the ones that he said, go tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. They're the men who were there praising God, magnifying God to receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They're already saved, but they're waiting on something greater. It is the outpouring of the Spirit of God that could not come till it was released when Jesus went back to heaven. And in that upper room that day, according to the book of Acts, they got in one mind, in one accord. They weren't worried about what was coming on TV tonight. They weren't worried about whether or not they were going to win the ball game tomorrow. They were all concentrating on one thing, worshiping God, praising him. They were some of them sitting, some of them shouting, but the Bible said the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind and filled all that were in the house. I don't know about y'all, but I dream of a day when I'm in place where the Spirit of God falls and everybody gets touched by the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. Pentecost began, as I told you this morning, it is the day in which the tablets were written, the Ten Commandments, and they worshiped it. That's why they were celebrating Pentecost in Jerusalem that day. When the Holy Ghost fell, that became something greater, because in the first one, God birthed his children as the children of Israel and set the covenant through the Ten Commandments. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fell in the upper room, the church was birthed. The new covenant was established. God began a new way of doing things, and I got pulled in through the blood of Jesus Christ, and now I'm part of an entity. Come on, church. Amen. Can you imagine how the devil felt? He's sitting there looking in that room. It's 120 people worshiping God. The Holy Ghost falls, and all of a sudden he sees one entity. No 120 people, but one thing, the church. That one adversary he could not overcome, he could not take down, he could not defeat, and before he knew what was happening, it slipped out the windows and got in the street, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus, and the next day another 5,000, and he's going, oh my Lord, we got to do something fast. This is moving quicker than I ever expected it to do. It was because something new, a new entity had hit the world. It was the power, the grace, the glory of Almighty God. Could you say amen? Amen. Peter steps outside, and let's face it, church, I had a preacher tell me the other day he could preach a whole sermon without scripture. I said, how are you going to do that? He said, why, that's the way you do it. Jesus never used scripture. I said, Jesus was scripture. I thought he was going to argue with that, and he caught himself. I mean, John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. So he was scripture. Hello? And he looked at me sort of funny. I said, even Peter, the first Pentecostal preacher, quoted scripture. He stepped out on the balcony. He goes over to Joel and he said, hey, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Upon thine handmaid, upon thy servants. You ain't saying upon everybody that will believe and get hungry for him, I have an anointing and a presence that I'm going to put in your life. And Peter's quoting scripture saying, this is that, a fulfillment of the prophecy that God has sent his word. And it is come to pass. Could you say amen? Amen. John 7:37. And in the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet come, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He said, what are you talking about? Jesus is telling them there's coming a time when something's going to get in you. You can't hold back. Come on, church. I don't understand people who gets filled with the Spirit and can control everything that goes on in their life. If God really gets loose in you, you're going to lose control every once in a while of your emotions. You may cry. You may fall out. Something's going to happen. But let me tell you something else, church. He said it will be in you a river flowing out. Some of y'all need to open up the gates on the dam. You're spiritually overweight because you're hanging on to all the water. You got water retention. Y'all can tell I didn't get this out in no commentary. Glory. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you're supposed to let it flow out of you. I had a guy tell me one time, God never fills me, refills me, or retouches me. I said, because you ain't pouring nothing out. If you got a full cup of coffee, it'd be dumb to pour more coffee in it. You got to wait till the coffee gets out and then pour some more in. Some of you hadn't gotten rid of anything in so long, God's got nowhere to put nothing else in. But if you'll start pouring out what God puts in you, I got a God that'll refill you every time you come in this building and every time you make an altar unto him and give you more to pour out to those. Paul said, you have this treasure in earthen vessels that it might be known the excellency of God and not of man. Preacher, what are you talking about? God has come to touch us and to minister to us. Amen. And when we see Pentecost, we finally see in this world the Trinity of God. Hello? What are you talking about, preacher? My God's three in one. He's a Trinity. Come on, church. Not yet. Yes. Well, then, no such thing as three in one. Hey, I can take an egg. It's got a shell. It's got a yolk. And it's got the white. It's all the egg. There's three entities in one thing. Hello? I've seen black cows eat green grass, give white milk. I didn't gripe how it happened. I just drank the milk. Hello? Well, preacher, you just don't know what you're talking about. My Bible said I was made in the image of the living God. Is that not true? Therefore, if I have a body and I have a soul and I have a spirit, then I serve a God who has a Father and a Son and a spirit, and they're all one, just like I'm one, just like you're one. Say, so what are you talking about? Well, you know, you die, your body goes to the grave, your spirit goes to be with God. At the time of the rapture, the spirit's going to come back, take hold of the soul, form a new body, and go back to be in heaven with God. But let me ask you something. Which one of those is you? Are you the body? Are you the soul? Are you the spirit? You're all three, and it takes all three to make you who you are. Take a person's spirit from them, they're lifeless. Take a person's soul from them, they're gone for eternity. Take a person's body, they don't exist in this world. But if you put all three together, you have a human being who is in the image of the living God. And I have a God who is the Father, who is the Son, who is the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was seen in glimpses during the time. I remember Stephen being stoned, and he said, I saw the heavens open. I saw the Father sitting on the throne and the Son at the right hand of the Father, and the glory of God encircled heaven. But now that spirit and that anointing, that third person of the Godhead is with us, and it is in us, and it moves by us as a comforter to take care of us, and we need to embrace the Spirit of God. Glory. Whew. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I just made point one. I just got to find it. This thing's great, except when it starts moving on its own. I remember years ago, my dad said he had a guy come preach for him, and back in the 40s, it didn't have air conditioning. They raised the windows, and everybody sat in church, and there was several hundred people at church that Sunday morning. He had the bishop, the state bishop, and in the Methodist church, the bishop means he is like a state overseer or... The man had an earned doctorate. My dad was very impressed. He said the guy got up there to preach. He said he got going. Said about that time wind come through and he had a pile of notes and they scattered all over the floor. And he looked down and he said, folks, I forgot to number them. He said, tell you what, I'll have to trust God this morning. I'll be better prepared tonight. Glory. I know he didn't mean it the way it sounded, but it sounded bad. You say, preacher, what's that got to do? Well, I have to wait on God to get me back in the right place. Now I can go. Amen. Number one, you need to understand about the Holy Spirit of God. He is God. He is divinity. Hello? We need to recognize the body of Christ, that the Spirit of God is God, Acts 5:1-4, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold possessions and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back a part of the price of the land? While it remained, it was not thine own, and after it was sold, was it not thine power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast lied unto men. Now, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. In other words, he refers to the Holy Spirit, and then he turns around and calls him God. Why? Because just as there's Father, the God, and the Son, which is God, there is the Holy Spirit, which is God. And we need to recognize the divinity of the presence, the power of God. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? He was there in the beginning. The Bible said in the book of Genesis, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep and began to help in creation because he was there. The word Elohim, which is for God, is plural, meaning there's more than one, but there's one God, just more than one entity of God. Could you say amen? You see, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to come to help you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have told you. John's writing says, God says, I'm going to send another entity. Just as the Son has been present with you to show you who I am. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And one of them said, wait a minute, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I am in the Father, the Father is in me, we are one. And he said, now I'm going to pray you get another part. Now this is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We are to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is a commission of God out of Matthew 28:19, that we do this. The Spirit has divine characteristics. Number one, he's omnipresent. In other words, the Spirit can be everywhere at all times. Can I point something out to you, church? It won't cost you a dime, but I'm just going to take a little sidebar here. Satan is not omnipresent. I know some of y'all think he is, because every Sunday morning something goes wrong with your house, you blame him. But if some little wimp demon wearing you out and you ain't got enough sense to realize the real man ain't showed up. Yeah, I know one of these gonna walk up. It was really the devil at my place. Well, he couldn't have been at your place and Sister So-and-so's place at the same time. He is an entity with a form. He cannot be two places at once. Hello? But he has emissaries who goes in his place, and every time they accomplish something, we give him credit for it. I've been in churches and the sound go bad. Somebody say, well, the devil's in the sound system. And I look back to people in the sound system going, they look like nice people to me. Glory. Hello? Somebody comes to church, they're late because they had to get that last drop of coffee and missed their mouth. So now they got to go change shirts or blouses, and they come in, well, the devil made me miss my mouth. Satan is not omnipresent, but God is. That's why he likes to make it look like he is. He wants to act like he's God. The problem he's got is everywhere he goes, God's already there waiting on him. Come on, church. That ought to excite you. What are you talking about? Wherever I am, God's with me. It doesn't matter what's going on. And if a devil wants to come attack, God's with me before the devil ever gets there. When he sets in his mind to go, God already knows he's coming. Oh, that's why he said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When I get the Spirit of God in my life, I've got God in me at all times, and I'll understand that wherever I am, he's with me, and greater is he that is in me than he. Notice this. He's omniscient. The Spirit of God knows everything. Contrary to what you think, God knows what you think. Satan cannot read your mind. He don't have to. You all time telling folks. How did he know my back was hurting? Well, you told 15 people. Maybe if you just wouldn't talk about it, he wouldn't know what was working. Y'all have heard me tell this, but it makes sense. It's not bad theology. One of the older ladies of the church, 95 years old, jumped up one time, Bill, said, "Y'all pray for me, the devil's tempting me." And I like to shout it. I thought I was the only one in the church having all kind of problems living right. And this woman, 95 years old, charter member of the church, was getting tempted. And I was like, wow, I'm not the only one. I went to her after church. I said, "Sister Daisy, what's the devil tempt you with?" She said, "I ain't telling you." I wanted to know what the devil could tempt a 95-year-old woman with. I was interested. And then she popped her theology. It made sense to me. She says, "I ain't telling you because he's listening. And if I tell you, he'll know what's working. He'll make it worse. If he don't know, he don't know what's bothering me. And I'll just shout right by it." Glory. Y'all got to know Miss Daisy. She walked to the mailbox, get the mail, look at the bills, and shout all the way back to the house about how God was going to help her pay them. Glory. Hello. Y'all have not seen what I've seen. I've seen people with no known income live like queens and kings in the middle of that swamp down there, just getting provided for by God that took care of them because they were faithful to him. Come on, church. Amen. So he knows. Think about this. God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you think you're thinking. He knows what you think you thought yesterday. He knows what you think you're going to think about tomorrow. So think about that. The Holy Spirit of God is grace. Say, "What you talking about, preacher?" It is the grace of God that brings us to God. And no man come to the Father but the Spirit draw him. So the Spirit of God is his grace that reaches down and touches us, his love that ministers us. The Holy Spirit is holiness. Walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you get the Spirit of God living in you, it's not hard to live right. Long as you let him drive the car. When you take over, it's when you get in trouble. "I got this." The Holy Spirit is sovereign. Do you realize that to blaspheme against God, you can be forgiven? To blaspheme against the Son, you can be forgiven. But the Bible says if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it's an unpardonable sin. Now, I don't think you can do it without knowing you did it. But I'd be very careful when I started mocking the Spirit of God. Because there is a line you cross that you're gone. It's kind of like the game where you play the game, you pull a card. Go straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Oh, this one don't say jail. That's where you're headed if you blaspheme the Spirit of God and you don't get to pass go. You don't get to collect $200. You're just gone. Oh. Can I throw something at you? The Holy Spirit is not a it. It's a him. And don't come up to me with this neuter gender junk. Tell me, he ain't me too. He's a woman. No, he ain't. God's a man. He made man in his own image, and Adam was not Eve. And he knew what he was doing. When he created man and woman, he didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. He knew what he was doing. And I got news for you. I go to the bathroom, a woman comes in, I'm going to ask her to step out till I'm through. I don't care what the law says. They lock me up, but she ain't coming in there with me. She don't belong in there. I don't care who she is. And I won't go back to Target because they got open bathrooms. So you want to go get looked at? Ladies, go on over there. Because these guys going to act like I'm transgender. They ain't, they perverts. Oh, but they gonna use this law. Come on, church. And our wonderful president has now ordered everybody to start doing that. I didn't hear his order and I don't recognize it. He has no right to tell me I'm a woman, I'm a man. I ain't acting like no woman, I'm sorry. If he wants to, that's his business. But I ain't one, I ain't acting like one, and I ain't gonna accept no other fella says he won. I don't know why y'all got quiet. It ain't in the notes, but I want you to understand the Holy Spirit's a him. And if I offend you, ladies, you need offended. I know there are other denominations give you a woman to worship. Yeah. You don't want to worship Jehovah, you can worship Sarah. Yeah, Sarah, the goddess of deception of the satanic church, just so you'll know where that name came from. Yeah, you know, we find women you can worship, but it ain't God. The Holy Spirit's God. It's a him. It's not a it. You didn't get it. You got him. He came to dwell in your life. He came to move in you. It is the presence, the power, the glory of Almighty God that comes down and visits in you and feels you and touches you and abides with you. Could you say amen to that, church? We need to understand what's going on here. It's not something God just throwed at us. It was in the side door. It is a part of him that comes to dwell in your life because it's a him. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, we need to understand the Spirit of God and who he is. He's one who pleads another case with one as an intercessor. He prays through us. When we don't know what to pray about, he prays for us. Church, you've never known real prayer. Do you get lost so bad you just get lost in the Spirit and get through and you're sitting there trying to figure out what just happened and get up the next day and see answers coming from prayers you didn't even know you were praying? Come on, church. God knows what's around the corner. You don't. If you've ever rode with me, you understand that I don't break laws, but I bend them greatly. There is no grass on my tires, and I was running on time one night to a revival. I'm normally early. If I'm on time, that means I'm moving because I don't want to be late. I was in Fayette, Trinity Church of God, in the middle of nowhere, out on the Lake Road, new church. That particular week, we had 28 people who had never been in Pentecost before receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it got that church foundation, got it started. And I'll never forget, we were headed to church. And Alicia was with us, but she wasn't in the world yet. Frida was expecting her. Alex was in the back seat with his mother, and I'm in the front seat, and I'm wearing it out down one of them back roads because I took a shortcut so we wouldn't be off time when we got to church. And all of a sudden, he comes crawling up out of the back seat, got out of his pumpkin seat or whatever he was in, and he's crawling up there, digging around on my arm, pulling. Next thing I know, he's flipped over the seat, and he said, "I don't see him deer, Dad, I don't see him deer." I said, "Son, there ain't no deer in the road." I turned the curve, and I had to put my foot on the brake because he was beside me, and there's a herd of deer standing in the road. I slammed on the brakes and stopped the car the rest of the way, and he said, "See, Daddy, that hour?" Crawled in the back seat like he was the smartest man in the world, and I'm sitting there going, if he hadn't have done that, I'd have been in the middle of those deer, and you realize what one deer does to a car, you can imagine what a whole bunch of them would have done to that car. Amen. So I had a God who saw around the curve, had sent a son up there, a two-year-old, to keep me from blowing my car up and hurting my family over a bunch of meat I wouldn't be able to eat after I hit it. Glory. Come on, church. Y'all may not understand this. I hit a deer one night, and I got out, and I thought about Granny. I got a piece of paint, and I started drawing on him. Hogs. Y'all ain't never watched Beverly Hillbillies, have you? Y'all ain't seen the episode where the hippo got in the backyard and Granny went out there and started painting on him like he's a big hog. Running out to Jeffro, said, "Jeffro, go get Jed. Y'all ain't never seen the hogs they got in Hollywood. I got one of them ready to slaughter out there right now." She had hogs and hams and chops and had it all wrote on the side. Ah, come on. Y'all act like you can't have fun at church. Listen. The Holy Spirit is a him. He's a comforter, one who brings alongside to bring comfort, to bring hope. A comforter is not to use, but just for looks. He's there to help us. He's a counselor, not just in the morning or the afternoon, but all day long. He'll help you make decisions if you will lean on him and trust in him. Come on, church. Amen. He's a true friend. He's a sealer. Now, he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us in God, who hath also sealed us and given us earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Spirit is what seals us to Christ. Hello? Well, preacher, I don't believe that. Ephesians 1:13, in whom we also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Glory. He is the one that makes prayer for me. He's the convictor. He's the one that brings me to a place where my sins are made known to me so that I can talk to God and make things right. He's a revealer of God to me. The Spirit of God will never reveal anything of himself. Jesus said he will tell you all about me and the Father. Why? Because that's what he's here for. Hello? He's a revealer to us. The Word of God, the power of God, the anointing of God. Listen, the attributes that give the Holy Spirit the ability to move our lives. He creates and gives life. The Spirit of God is not a spirit of death, it's a spirit of life. Hello? You sit beside somebody that ain't moved all night, tap them and say, hey, are you dead or alive? I worry about some folks. I've sat in church and I didn't even get a snore out of a guy I thought was asleep. He just... Yeah, they're through. I'm going home. Glory. Wow, he was alive. He appoints and commissions ministers. Don't try to be a preacher if you're not called. I wouldn't try to teach a class if I wasn't called. Because all those are callings. I had a preacher one time, he pulled me off the side and he said, boy in a red coat over? I said, yeah. He said, God called him to preach. I said, great. When did he tell you? He said, he don't know it yet. I said, okay. He said, I need you to go tell him God called him to preach. I looked at him, I said, first of all, I ain't no mule. So I'm not going over to speak to Balaam. If you think you're a donkey, go on. He's standing right over here in that red coat. If God calls you, you understand it's God's calling. I'll never forget. God worked on me all my life. I got in church at Buell. I was afraid God was going to call me again. I was trying to keep it from happening. And I was fighting with it. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and there wasn't any more fight left in me. So even after I prayed and said, God, if you'll heal my mama, I'll preach. I still wasn't wanting to do it. And all of a sudden, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. One Sunday night, the Spirit of God's moving, and we had church. And I jumped up. The pastor was gone, and I told one of the men, I said, God called me to preach. He said, you need to talk to the pastor. I said, he ain't the one called me. Glory. I wished I'd talked to the pastor because I got up, stuck my foot in my mouth. I jumped up and said, I'm going to be the greatest preacher ever come out of this church. And church, that you got to understand something about Buell. It's in a little hole in the swamp. But prior to me, there were 85 full-time ministers in the Church of God out of that church. Right now, the pastor at Muscle Shoals, the pastor at Buell, the pastor at North Gadsden, myself, Brad, are all in ministry from that church. Not counting the young men down at the church that's now gotten their license and gone into ministry. There's something about that swamp water in that church that just pushes people out. And I jump up and I'm going to be the greatest preacher that ever come out. I'm thinking to myself, geez, I ain't the greatest preacher in my own body, much less out of that church. Amen. But the reality is I understood God called me and I didn't need somebody to tell me. I didn't need somebody to mail me something. I knew that I knew deep down inside of me that I was being commissioned to the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost and that unction was moving me to do something for God. At church, when God gets in you and begins to move in you, it's time to go. Could you say amen? Brother Wallace Sibley preached at a camp meeting one time, preached a sermon called the unction to function. That is what the Holy Ghost is. One of the words that is translated power in the Bible is power that is set in motion. And when we get the anointing of the Spirit of God, there ought to be motion in your life. You ought to be doing something for God, moving for Him, accomplishing something for Him. I'm going to close just a moment. I noticed some of y'all moving to your watch. As long as you don't tap it, put it up to your ear, I'm all right. I want to finish this so I can go to something else next week. I have a friend that's a retired Methodist pastor. Everywhere he went, he preached and believed the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and his congregations would be moving in the Spirit of God. He was pastoring a church in the Tuscaloosa area. Holy Ghost was moving. We were together one day with a Church of God preacher, and I said, "Man, how'd it go yesterday?" He said, "Man, we had church." And y'all know how we are. We think we don't want to know how to have church. And that Church of God preacher leaned over, and he spoke just a little loud because he said, "If he just knew what church was." Well, this buddy of mine heard him. He said, "I'm telling you." Said, "We were playing, the lady was playing for the offertory." Now, if those of you don't understand that, she's playing what it took up the offering. That's just how they say it. Everything's official to them. I was preaching a camp meet one night, and the state bishop got excited, started dancing in the spirit, and he was actually shouting. He lost it on stage in front of the camp meet, and he, "Whoa, whoa." And this guy said, "He's doing a liturgical dance." I said, "Dude, he just lost the spirit." Glory. I don't want that other is. Glory. He didn't care what kind of dance it was. He was just having one. That guy looked up and said, "The lady was playing for the offertory, and the Holy Ghost hit her. She come off that piano and started shouting down the aisle. I had to get somebody to take her place." And he said, "Next thing you know, I got people walking the aisle. I got sinners running to the altar. We had 3 people healed, 4 people saved." That church guy preaching looked at me and said, "My God, they had church." Glory. The Spirit of God is what separates us from everybody else. I believe it is important that we embrace the Spirit of God in our lives today, because it is in that Spirit and this Word I have the ability to overcome this world and live in His presence. Somebody said, "You think you're special?" Yes, I am. Because God signified me as child and made me special. I'm a child of the King. I don't have to take a back seat to nobody. I do not suffer from the sin of timidity. I'm not worried about what anybody else says. If God sets a table, I got a right to eat at it because I'm one of His kids. Amen. Come on, church. What are you talking about? I've got the anointing of the Spirit of God in my life. I am not perfect, but that Spirit helps me walk in His presence and in His power every day. And that Word gives me ability to overcome the things that's in my life that I need to overcome. And the more I put this in my heart, the more I move the Spirit into my life, the less of this world I need to have to get by. And the closer I am to a God that one day is going to take me out of this world and I'm going to be perfected in His presence. And you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" We need to embrace the power of God that leads us into a closer relationship with God than we can have any other way. It's not just about the doodads on Granny's favorite song. It's not just about feeling good. It's about an anointing that will change your life 24/7, 365 days out of the year, that fills you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet with a fire that cannot be held in by the glory of the Stand with me all over the house. I was reading about something this afternoon, a phenomenon I'd heard about. There were some guys in Alaska, and they'd been fishing. And they made a fire to cook the fish in. The problem was they let the fire get a little low. And the fish froze while they're still hanging over the fire. The title of the story I was reading was called "Freezing in the Midst of the Fire."
And I thought to myself, how many church people do we have who are freezing spiritually in the midst of the fire of God because they're not embracing His presence, His power, His anointing? And you're saying, God, come into my life. I don't care what people say. David could care less what his wife was going to say when he went dancing down that street. He stripped that kingly robe off and went down that street dancing and worshiping God, and he didn't care who saw it because all he wanted to do was worship his God. And church, some of us need to get to that place where we don't care what people think about us. We just want to know what God thinks about us, what his glory can do in our lives. And it happens when we embrace his presence. When the Spirit of God gets in your life, there can be things happen in you that you would never see happen any other way. I've seen some awesome things in my life. And there are times I think I've seen it all, and next thing you know, God shows me something else I hadn't seen. But we need in the church world today to embrace the anointing of God. We've got loved ones that need to be saved. We need that anointing to break the yoke of bondage that's binding them. We need the presence of God to move in our life. When Elijah was walking with Elijah, a question was asked, I'm going to close with. He said, what do you want? I mean, he couldn't get rid of him. He tried to leave him in three different places. He kept saying, now, what I'm looking for ain't here. I'm going with you. They're in the desert, walking on hot sand, and he says, what do you really want? He said, I want twice as much as you had. He said, because what you had was for your generation. I'm facing a generation I need more. Years ago, I was with my granddad praying in the living room. I said, God, give me an anointing like my papa. I want to feel your presence like he does. And as Lomer could do in his own way, he just reached over and said, poof. My head slapped that couch, and I come up, and he said, boy, you don't want what I got. What I got was for me. You need what's going to carry you into a generation I've never faced. You want anointing that'll carry you where I've never been. And church, some of us need to realize what we had yesterday was good, but we need another portion. God, I got to have some more. I'm living in a time when Satan is on the run. I need an anointing to help me break down the walls and barriers that Satan could put up in my life and in those around me that I can reach them. And I need that comforter. I need that power. I need that anointing. And for that to happen, we have to embrace the Spirit of God. Father, I thank you tonight for your love, for your mercy. I believe you to move in this house. Touch us, God, with your anointing. In Jesus' name.